Our scripture reading for today is rather complex, and it's a story from the Old Testament. So I want to give you just a little background before Lydia reads it to you. It's about a character by the name of Jacob, who is a son of Isaac and Rebekah, and the grandson of Abraham and Sarah, who of course gave birth to the nation of Israel. Jacob is the younger twin brother of Esau, with whom he has a very complicated relationship. In this passage for today, Jacob is on his way back to Canaan with a small tribe of wives and concubines and children and livestock after being away for some 20 years. And he is scared to death because his estranged older brother Esau is coming to meet him along with his army of 400 men, and it appears not to be a welcoming party, but a meeting to settle old scores and grievances. So Jacob separates himself from his family and camps out that night at the Jabbok River in order to save his family from possible annihilation. Jacob, no doubt, didn't have a restful night. His mind was probably racing with all the events of his past, of his stealing his brother's birthright by deception and by all of his wheeling and dealing. He hasn't had a real clean life. And at this time, he's probably reaching out to God in prayer, asking for God to somehow spare him. And then there's this strange encounter. He has this encounter in the middle of the night in the form of a dream. There is a wrestling match that takes place. Jews tend to believe that Jacob was wrestling with an angel sent from God. Christians tend to believe that Jacob was actually wrestling with God. But either way, what I hope you will think about as you hear this story is about how we come to terms with God, how we come to terms with our past and with our present and with our future, and how we work out and work through our relationship with God. Now, I invite you to listen closely to this story from Genesis chapter 32 as Lydia reads it to you.
A reading from Genesis 32, 22 to 32. That same night, Jacob got up, took his two wives, his two concubines, and his 11 children, and crossed the Jabbok River. After he had sent them across, he also sent across all that he owned, but stayed behind, alone. Then a man came and wrestled with him until just before daybreak. When the man saw that he was not winning the struggle, he hit Jacob on the hip, and it was thrown out of joint. The man said, "Let me go. Daylight is coming." "I won't, unless you bless me," Jacob answered. "What is your name?" the man asked. "Jacob," he answered. The man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob. You have struggled with God and with men, and you have won, so your name will be Israel." Jacob said, "Now tell me your name." But he answered, "Why do you want to know my name?" Then he blessed Jacob. Jacob said, "I have seen God face to face, and I am still alive." So he named the place Peniel. The sun rose as Jacob was leaving Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Even today, the descendants of Israel do not eat the muscle which is on the hip joint, because it was on this muscle that Jacob was hit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord God, we pray for you to speak to us from the story of faith and through the whispers of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.
Well, last spring, I determined that it was time to replace our barbecue grill. The old one had served well over 20 years with a number of replacement parts thrown in along its life, but the grill was coming apart at its seams, so it was time for me to pull out my wallet and fork over the cash for a new one. Did a little research online, found the model I was looking for at Lowe's, went to the store, carefully read the box, and then put it on the cart, proceeded to the checkout counter. But one thing I did notice on the box, it said, "Some assembly required." It even gave me an actual estimate of time of how long it would take a novice to assemble it. 30 minutes. And I thought to myself, I'm no Mick Thorpe, but I'm not a novice either. I will have this thing put together in 20 minutes flat, no problems. Does anyone want to guess how long it actually took me? hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. You guys have such confidence in me. It's amazing. But from the time I took it out of the box, which wasn't easy, to the time I threw some hamburgers on it, it was 6 hours. It started out with having a hard time just getting the box open, and it went downhill from there. There were all of these bags with all of these parts, and the directions like was a 20-page novel written by someone with a PhD in mechanical engineering, and I'm like, oh my word. And then I saw at the bottom a helpline, so I called it. And after 20 minutes and pushing all of these buttons, they were not helpful. I would get a few things assembled, and I then would look at it and go, that's not right, and I would have to tear it apart and start over again. And I thought about putting one of those little stickers on it when I was done that says no foul language was used in the assembly of this product. That would have clearly been a lie. So after 6 hours, with great fear and trembling, I turned on the gas. And it worked. I'm not sure it was assembled to the exact specifications intended by its maker, but it worked. Now, I tell you this story because I often think that's how a life of faith works. It is a work of process and progress, and we don't always get it right, and we get confused, and we get lost, and a life of faith is not something that comes in this nice, neat little package with a bow on top and everything is all pre-assembled and everything's all worked out for us. Some assembly is required. Well, with today being Pentecost Sunday and the weekend of confirmation, I think it's important for us to acknowledge and get comfortable with this idea that our faith is a work in process and that we are not alone. That God's Spirit is present and available to help us get through things and to help us figure things out when we are open to the leading of God's Spirit. And that sometimes we have to wrestle with our faith and even wrestle with God as we seek to put our lives together. In our scripture reading for today, Jacob is camped out on the muddy banks of the Jabbok River. Well, Jacob was his twin brother Esau. Esau was born first and entitled to the birthright given to the firstborn. But Jacob, by using deception, cheated his brother Esau out of his birthright. Jacob was one slick guy. He cut corners. He was always making deals. And all of this deal-making and his wheeling and dealing caused some tension between him and his older brother by a few seconds. I mean, his brother was born right before him, his twin brother. And Esau's anger and resentment grew to the point where Esau wanted to kill his brother. So Jacob fled to another country, and he worked for his uncle Laban for many years, had an interesting relationship with him. He married, he had children, he had concubines, he had a lot of possessions, he accumulated a lot of wealth. I mean, he was a wheeler and dealer. But an angel came, an angel of the Lord came and spoke to Jacob and ordered him to return to Canaan, the land of his father. But that meant that he had to face his brother Esau. And Jacob knew that Esau was still longing for revenge. Nevertheless, Jacob sets out for Canaan. And in verse 24, we read that a man wrestled with Jacob until daybreak. In this dream, Jacob wrestles all night with God or with someone that God sent. It was a struggle which, of course, was nothing new for Jacob. His entire life had been filled with a lot of drama and a lot of struggle. He came into the world grabbing onto the heel of his twin brother Esau. Later, he cheated Esau. Still, he struggled with and outsmarted his uncle Laban. So now as he's about to re-enter the promised land, and he has this wrestling match with God. So what is that all about? In my mind, it was a competition about who would be in charge of Jacob's life. Jacob, or God? Don't all of us have a similar struggle? And I want to say to our confirmands this weekend, this is an ongoing struggle that we all face as we seek to follow God. Even Jesus struggled with this as he faced his death upon the cross and following through with the wishes of his Father in heaven. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane where he prayed that prayer. He didn't want to go to the cross, but he said, "Not my will be done, but yours." Jacob had always depended upon his quick wit and his cleverness to outsmart other people in order to build himself up and to promote himself. Now he's being challenged to put God first and Jacob second, and it ends up in a wrestling match. In the 25th verse, we read, "When the man saw that he could not overpower him," which is a pretty interesting little verse there, because Jacob at this time was 97 years old. So it was not like he was stronger and had the ability to outmuscle or overcome God. But it's that Jacob was stubborn and he was persistent and he was not going to give up and yield his ways to God's ways. We had this wrestling match. It then says God hit Jacob on the hip and his hip was thrown out of joint. That's painful. But it's like God hit Jacob with a two before in order to get his attention. I mean, isn't that the way it works sometimes? We get so dug into doing things our way and refusing to yield our way to God's way that sometimes it takes the proverbial two before to get our attention. Sometimes God can take the bad things that happen in our life and use them to teach us for his purposes. So Jacob wrestles with God, and at the same time, God blesses Jacob and even gives him the name Israel. Our reading says, "You have struggled with God and with men, and you have won, so your name will be Israel." One thing I hope you will see here is that God doesn't reject people like Jacob who struggle with following God. God does not reject doubters like Thomas, and God will not reject you or me. Even when we doubt, even when we struggle, God is always willing to wrestle with us. Faith in God is built over time and through mistakes and through struggles and through disappointments. God has a way of teaching us and stretching us and helping us to grow by using our blind spots and our mistakes. And many times it is not a pleasant experience. But if we're willing to wrestle with God with our doubts and our questions, God will be faithful in teaching us new directions so that we can follow God's ways rather than our own. A good friend of mine is a high school football coach, a guy by the name of Gary James. And he used to say after a loss, "Well, you know, we learn more from our losses than our wins." Well, I wouldn't make a habit of that. And nobody I know likes to lose. But learning from your losses and from your mistakes is a powerful tool that God can use to strengthen you and give you wisdom. So this is the message I hope our confirmands will take with them today and that you will take with you as you leave. A strong faith doesn't come fully assembled. It's something you put together over time. And the assembly process can't be measured in hours or days or even years. It's a process that takes place over the span of your entire life. You'll make mistakes. You'll get it wrong. You'll get frustrated. You will face trials and temptations. You will wrestle with God. And that's a good thing. And as you know, you're not alone. On this Pentecost Sunday where we remember the coming of God's Holy Spirit, that it has the power to give us strength, to teach us, and guide us. So don't shut the door on God's Spirit. And today we also receive communion, which is a symbol of God's ongoing and never-ending forgiveness and love. a symbol that teaches us that God is always present, always willing to walk with us, always willing to teach us how to navigate this assembly process of our life. Let's pray. Lord God, we know that often life can be frustrating and hard, and we struggle between following your way and ours. Help us to know that it's okay to wrestle with you. Help us to welcome your Spirit into our lives, a Spirit that guides us and gives us strength for our journey. Remind us through the symbols of communion of your continual presence and grace. And Lord, this morning, we pray a special prayer for our confirmands, that they may continue to be open to you and your ways as they live out their life of faith. Walk with them as they seek to walk with you. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.